Yeah, but we're going to be in Mark chapter 4 today. Come on, Mark chapter 4. If you don't know it, go make a friend with it. Because Jesus said, if you don't get this one, you ain't going to get nothing. If you don't understand what I'm saying here, you're going to choke on everything else. Amen. Hallelujah. We're getting into some meat. We pastor a really young church. We founded it very recently within the last few years. And so we have a lot of people and we kind of talk about how, whenever a baby gets too much milk all at one time, they start choking. Right? So we have a saying at our church. I'm like, don't choke. Don't start choking on me. Don't choke. Don't choke. We'll start talking about some stuff today. Let's look in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and we're going to read some scripture today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We bless you. We just thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to be in your word corporately together. I thank you that every word that's said is for your glory. Lord God, I thank you that it's going into good ground today. Father, that it's coming and going into good ground, Father, and producing a harvest in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that just as the spirit of wisdom and revelation that the apostle Paul declared, I declare that today now, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ is resting heavily upon your people, that they leave with answers and not questions, forever changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. I am not homiletical, so I'm going to only say it two times on purpose. And again, Dr. Holler used to always give me a hard time about reading the Toys R Us version. Anything other than King James or New King James was Toys R Us. And then he would say, you're the only one that I let preach that follows zero rules of homiletics. Like you don't follow any rules of homiletics, but I'm okay with it. Well, you got one here too. Says, and he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat on it in the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables. Now, real quick, this was Jesus, one of his favorite ways of teaching. Almost everything that he taught was by parables. And in the original text, parables means parallel. Parallel. What is parallel? How is it parallel? Because Jesus is taking a truth from the natural realm and matching it to a truth in the spirit realm. And he's bringing it together so that we can understand it, right? Parallel. So this is what he's doing here. He's saying, I can prove to you that this works, and I can prove to you that this is going to be how it works in your life, because this is how it works in the spirit. Yeah. Right? You with me? Yeah. Okay. And he said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, or pay attention, wake up. I'm about to show you something. A sower went out to sow, and it happened that as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside. Say, hard heart. Hard heart. And birds of the air came and devoured it, and some fell on stony ground. Say, stony heart. Where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell on thorns, say thorny heart. And the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no crop, but other seed fell on good ground, say good heart. And it yielded a crop or fruit that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he said to them, verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now we know that what's being sown here is the word. Amen. What's being sown is the word of God. And what we're looking at is different scenarios, different conditions of our heart, and how our heart is going to respond. How, right? This is a heart condition, right? This is Jesus comparing the ground to our heart. So we have a heart condition that we're talking about here. And this is the scenarios that God is saying our heart will respond if this is the condition of our heart. Wayside or hard ground is when a ground meets the road, right? By the wayside, the road. What ends up happening is that when ground meets the road, it starts taking on the characteristics of what it's connected to. Come on, that'll work in your personal life too. That's just a tidbit for you. Who you're connected to. I love what T.D. Jake said. It says, and I wish I could scream it like him and sweat, but I can't. I mean, I could probably scream, but he's got more than me. He says, when you hang out with nine losers, you're soon going to be the tenth. Right? No. Little organ behind you. But that's what happens. You start mimicking who or what you're connected to. Oh, you start acting like them, start talking like them, start walking like them, start responding like them. You become what you're connected to, the wayside soil. And then what happens is you reject. The word's trying to be sown, but because your heart is hard, it just rejects everything that tries to come in. Just rejects it. Right? Then we've got stony ground. I did an illustration at our church where I had a shovel and we were digging up stones and I tore up the stage and I got in trouble. But you have a responsibility in your life to not let offense, not let things start stoning up your heart. Right? Maybe you're not completely hard-hearted. Right? Maybe you've gotten past most of it, but there's still a couple things from your past that is just causing rocks to start surfacing up. Start surfacing up. Whenever my daughter was going to the doctor's office, we went and every time I'd get there, there would be a more land cleared. And as the land was being cleared, I noticed that there was a pile of rocks over to the side. And I thought, what is that? That's odd. And then one day, whenever I got there, I saw a team of people out with machines getting all of the loose rocks and moving them over into this pile. And I thought, man, that's so good. They needed something built, but they knew that it wouldn't be built to its fullest potential if there was rocks in the soil. Right? God is building something in our life. He's the chief cornerstone, scripture says. And we know that cornerstone in the original text means the first, most of the time the first, sometimes the last stone, but it's either the first or the last stone. And if he's the chief cornerstone, some people have rejected him, the book says. But whenever he says, I'm still willing to build something if you're willing to clear out the stones. I need to build something, but I need to make sure that it's going to be successful and get to its fullest potential so that we can reach people together. Amen. So good. Thorny ground. We see thorny ground. This took about 6 weeks for me to do at my church. So you got to buckle up. Right? I saw this little timer and it scared me. And she said I had 4 hours. Right? So we're going to get it in. But the next ground is thorny ground. Thorns. And what's interesting about that is that it's good ground other than that. There's not stones in it. It's soft. It's not hard. So what it tells me is that the enemy starts freaking out. When you get to a place, because if I didn't want you to be successful and it was my last ditch effort, I would just start throwing anything in. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm just going to throw it in and hope for a harvest of negative. Because at that point, you're good ground, but we still have an open door to the enemy. Yeah. You're good ground, and what's scary about good ground, we'll try to cover it in a minute, but what's scary about good ground is that not just the good grows in good ground. Yeah. 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 When it's good ground, everything can grow in good ground. Anything can grow in good ground. Amen? We know also that we're not supposed to live in thorny ground because in Genesis chapter 3, I think it's verse 17 or 18. If you look it up and I'm wrong, don't tell me, but I think it's verse 18. Thorns are part of the curse. You're not under the curse. That's further verification that we're not supposed to live there. We're not supposed to live in hard-hearted ground. We're not supposed to live in stony ground. We're not supposed to live in thorny ground. We're supposed to live in good ground. Good ground. I believe that that's where we all desire to be. I believe that that's where we all should be. I believe that that's where God wants us to be. Well, how do you know that, Pastor Casey? Number one, duh. Number two, John 15 says that the more fruit or the more harvest or the more crop that you yield and bring forth, the more glory God gets. Right? The more glory that God gets. It's our job to bring Him glory and honor in the earth. Right? The better the ground, the more fruit, the more glory. Better ground, more fruit, more glory. God gets it all. Right? At the women's event yesterday, If you missed it, if you're a woman and you men, that's not for you. If you missed it and you're a woman, the single guy's like, I didn't know I could go to that. No, you can't. Just for women. It's not a place to pick up a honey. Amen. But my wife spoke yesterday and she talked about springing up. Springing up. That was their theme yesterday, was springing up. And I want to tag into that this morning. God wants you good ground. Who wants to be good ground? Right? You want to be good ground. We're supposed to be bringing forth fruit. We're supposed to be bringing a harvest. Part of the crop is for you. Right? It's yours. It's to release to other people. It's to give glory to God. So this is a benefit for you, not only of those around you and not only to God. It's a benefit for you to be good ground. Amen. I tell our church that our harvest, whether it's in our life or producing fruit for someone else or giving glory to God, our harvest is our responsibility because, write this down if you're taking notes, our harvest is our responsibility and it's what we need to do because it is the return on the investment that God gave to us, that God made into us. Our harvest, our fruit, the crops that we're bringing forth is the return on the investment that God made into us. When someone makes an investment, it is always for a return. You don't ever make an investment to say, I don't care what happens to that. No. You make an investment to get. You give to get. Amen. And you have an expectation of who you've entrusted it with to bring a return to you. God has an expectation on our life. That's why he said this is the most important. So I said, I need you to get this above all. I don't care if you don't do anything else. I need this to be gotten and understood. Let's look back at verse 8. Other seed fell on good ground and it yielded a crop or fruit that sprang up, increased and produced. Say sprang up, increased and produced. Some 30, 60, and 100 fold. This is the ground that all of us want to be categorized in. We want to receive seed well. We want to receive seed well, right? Yes. Yes. Amen. Just make sure I'm talking to the right people. And we know that the seed here is the word. So I wanted to just think about what could be seeds from the word. If I'm supposed to receive seed, I want to know what seed is in the word. And so I started thinking about it. Things that I can derive from the word is wisdom. It's a seed, right? What about insight, understanding? These are things that we can receive as seeds from the word. How about opportunity? Right? Give. It'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, right? Give, try me in this, give and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven. Yeah. Well, I don't like that part. Then you're not good ground. That's why Jesus says, understand this or you'll choke on the rest. Get this or you won't get the rest. Amen. All right. What about, this one. What about correction? Correction can be a seed from the word. I don't want to be corrected. Correction doesn't hurt if you're good ground. Correction doesn't hurt if you're good ground. If you're good ground, correction doesn't hurt. If you're good ground, correction, you say, I didn't see it like that, and I'm glad I do now. I didn't see it like that, but I'm glad I do now because my harvest is coming now. Now my harvest can come. Now my harvest can come. I believe that we all have a desire to live a life that takes seed, that takes wisdom, right? That takes correction, that takes understanding, that takes insight well. We want to take it all well. It says that good ground yields fruit or makes a way. I love this. Is it up here? Yields fruit. Say yields. Yeah. Yields. Yield simply means an opening or a making of the way. An opening or a making of the way. So catch this. Just by making the decision, maybe you're not good ground today and you're like, you know what? I'd really love to be good ground. Just that alone is yield. Yeah. Yeah. Just that's yield. You're opening up portals. You're opening up portals in the spirit realm to say, I'm making room for something to come in. Right? Holy Spirit told me that growth is making a decision today to be better than I was yesterday. Right? Making a decision tomorrow to be better than I was today. That's what growth is. We don't wake up perfect. We don't wake up good ground. Right? It's making a decision. It's making a decision. And the decision is the yield. The decision is the yield. Look what happens after that. You yield, you make the decision, then it springs up, increases, and produces. Good ground does that. Say, springs up.
Springs up.
If you're taking notes, write this down too. Springs up. And the original text means to ascend. Ascend from a lower level to a higher level. To ascend from a lower level to a higher level. Well, I'm pretty mature in the word. I know exactly what you're saying today and I understand it. So if you're saying that, you ain't very mature. You don't want to go higher? Ascend from a lower level to a higher level. Where you're at is a lower level from the higher level you could be at. Amen. There's always room to increase. All through scripture, we are called to ascend. What did Jesus say? I think it's Matthew chapter 7. He said, ascend or build your house on the rock. Otherwise, you will descend if you do it on the sand. Opposite from ascend. Right? So we're building up. We're always called to go up. To go up. To go up. Onward and upward. Onward and upward. Pastor Deb said that this morning. I love that. Onward and upward. Come on. Deep cries out to deep. Right? Deep. This is high. This is deep. This is deep. Going upward. It receives the seed. Right? And then it yields. You make a decision. Then you're ascending onward and upward. And then look what happens. So it springs up. And then increases. Then increases. Springs up. You yield it. Spring. You receive it. Then you make the decision. Then it springs up. Then it increases. Then it increases. I love this. In the original text, the word increases means to exceed. To exceed. To take that ground or to take that life, your life, further than what you thought it could go. Past what your parents said about you. Past what the college grade you got. Past what you feel like your failure has caused you to be. Right? To increase, to go past that. In fact, I'm just going to make that declaration over your life right now that you will increase. You're not just going to spring up. You're going to increase. Your words are going to have more value than what they ever thought that you ever thought they could have. Your finances are going to be greater than what you ever thought they could be. Your marriage is going to be stronger now than what you ever thought it could be. Come on, your life is going to take its place further. Come on. Well, I'm where I'm supposed to be. No, you can go further. You can go further. You can go further. Your freedom is going to take you to a place where you didn't realize you could go. I'm just going to say that you're going to wake up not many days from now and say, how, God, did I get here? Yeah. Yeah. Whew, I don't know. Listen, if you don't want it, listen. How did I get to this place? I thought that I had gone to the place that I could be at, but how did I get right here? How did I get right here? I didn't realize that I could be at this place. I didn't realize that I could pay that debt for that person. I didn't realize that I could be here. But what ended up happening, y'all throwing money, I'm going to take it. Come on, in good ground. You're receiving this. This is good. Listen. Y'all going to have to teach something to my church. Y'all watching? Come on now, listen. Good ground. Good ground. You're opening up a portal and then you're receiving the seed, opening up a portal and then increasing, springing up and increasing, going past the place, going to the place that God has already destined you to be, but something in our life has prevented us from getting there. Thank you, Jesus. springs up. It ascends you to a new level. Then it increases. Can we pull that up? Yield crop, spring up, increased, and. Say and. Oh. I love this. I love this. And means accompanied by. Accompanied by. It wasn't enough just to open up a portal. It wasn't enough just to receive the seed. It wasn't enough to just make a decision. It wasn't even enough to God to just spring up. It wasn't even enough to God to increase. And now, accompanied by that, we're going to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. Come on, harvest day. Come on. Harvest day. You listen. Harvest day, you are increasing before you increase. You're increasing before you increase. You're increasing and then increase upon increase. 30, 60, and 100. 30, 60, and 100. How good does that sound? That's the kind of crop that's coming from you if you're good ground. We can get excited about that. We can get excited about the crop that's manifesting, that's coming in. The fruit that's coming in, the harvest that's coming in. Thank you, Jesus. When we were at Pastor Rock's and Pastor Deb's house yesterday, I can't tell you how much we love them. I really can't. It just, it's beyond, it really is. And I've loved y'all for that long too. I just didn't know you. Amen. We ask ourselves often in our ministry, WWRDD. What would Rocks and Deb do? WWRDD. I said, WWRDD. I'm getting a bracelet. I'll get the Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. No, we were at their house last night. I'll get a name with your bracelet on. I mean, bracelet with your name on it too, if you will. No, I'm just kidding. You are so incredible. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. You know, we were at their house. You can get excited about harvest. We were at their house and we were fixing to go to dinner, and Pastor Deb walks out, and it was just kind of an instinct. She walked out. We were about to get in the car and in the garage, and she goes, not many months from now, these trees are going to have peaches on them. Big peaches. You know how she knew that? Because there was seed in good ground. There was seed in good ground. And she was already expecting. Come on, did you come expecting today? There's already expectation for what's coming. She can already see it in the spirit realm. She can see it. You can look at your life and say, oh, my child's coming home. My son's on his way back home. Right? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. You know, about a week ago, I called Pastor Deb and I said, there's a child, a son with a brunette woman. I didn't see the purple hair, but I said a brunette woman. Remember this? I said a brunette woman, and I see angels going and just making her son make a U-turn. Bringing her son in. And just a U-turn. Angelic supernatural forces coming in and just moving him in a U-turn completely around. And we're still believing that. We're going to declare that and continue to believe that. Amen. Amen. But she knew that peaches were coming because she knew what she planted. She knew what was sown, and she knew the condition of the ground. And she knew what was on its way because of her work, because of what she did. My wife said something yesterday in the women's meeting. She said, what you sow is what you grow, and what you grow is what you show. What you sow is what you grow, and what you grow is what you show. That's what other people are going to see in your life. That's what other people are going to see in your life. Have you ever looked at somebody and been like, I don't want what they've got? Because they're showing you what they've grown. And what they've grown is showing you what they've sown. Amen. Oh, just like the opposite. You looked at somebody's life and say, oh, what did they do? What did they do? Let me find out what they did. I want to get in that ground. Right? I want to be in that ground. We were in McKinney and we were driving through a place, and it was the prettiest. It was on 380 between Princeton and Greenville. And it was the prettiest crop. It was like the greenest, most beautiful. The lines were perfect. Everything was just immaculate. And I thought, oh, if I was a farmer, I'd be an idiot not to sow there. Yeah. If I was a farmer, I'd be an idiot not to sow there. Yeah. Right? We can look at other people's life and say, I want to sow into that. Yeah. I'd be an idiot not to sow into that. Right? Because look what they're doing. Yeah. Look what they're doing. We were talking last night about, or maybe a couple of nights ago about, you know, we always want to sow into need, but there's a huge difference when you sow into provision. Yeah. Yeah. When you sow into something that's already good ground, when you sow into something that's already producing, when you sow into something, somebody that's already rich, yeah. Yeah. You're just receiving what they've got in their ground into yours. That's so good. But just like you don't wake up perfect, you don't wake up grown, you wake up good ground. You don't wake up good ground, right? Just like you don't wake up those, you don't wake up good ground. Mimi, my grandma, my church knows her, but y'all don't. So it's my grandmother. She's like 100 or something. I don't know, but she still goes out. She still goes out and, loves to garden, loves to garden. She comes and does it at my house, and I'm like, Mimi, they're gonna die. I'm not gonna take care of them. I don't have time. The chlorine from the pool is gonna splash on them. They're gonna die. You're wasting your time. And, you know, she stays out there hours, and she'll dig up a big hole, and then she lays this big black thing down. I didn't know what it was, but it does exist. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Right? So she lays this big black thing down. She puts special soil in there. She starts sprinkling stuff. She lets it sit. Then she waters it. Then she lets it sit. Then she does this. Then she tills it up. And then she digs this up. And then she makes little lines. And then she puts seed. Then stuff starts growing. And what that tells me is that Mimi does not have amazing and beautiful plants because she moved someplace that had amazing and beautiful good ground. She has amazing and beautiful plants because she made good ground. She made good ground. Good ground is not found. Good ground is made. We make good ground. If we see something in our life, and listen, this is something that I was very candid about in my home church where we pastor. We can have all four of these grounds in our heart simultaneously. Right? Healing and wholeness, boy, I'm like, whoo, yeah. Tithing, I'm all about it. Give my money. Come on, take it. I'm sowing seed. The Stone family never turns down an opportunity to sow seed or to pray for somebody. Yes. Right? We've made that commitment in our children and in us. So I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Salvation, let's get you saved, buddy. Come on. But then I had gotten to a place where somebody had offended me. And I thought I was over it. I thought I was over it. I was good everywhere else. I was good. But then whenever this situation came up, I got mad all over again. So I knew I wasn't over it. What was it? Stony ground. Wasn't completely hard. But I just had to do what David did and say, create in me a clean heart. Create in me. It can't be that easy. It is that easy. Create in me a clean heart. I don't want to live like that. There's something that's trying to grow. There's something that's trying to spring up, increase and produce 30, 60, and 100 fold, but it can't because there's a stone in the way. And I don't want it to be there. I need it out. I need it out. I need to dig it out and just ask God, create in me a clean heart. Good ground is made. We make us good ground. The land existed, but it wasn't good. Your heart exists, but is it good? Amen. We make it good. I want to read really quick. Really quick. Am I supposed to be done? No? Okay. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans 12, 2. You ready? Yep. Say, this is a heart condition.
This is a heart.
Yeah. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Say transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. See, again, this just verifies that it's our responsibility to prove it. To have good harvest, a good stock, good produce growing, springing up, increasing 30, 60, 100 fold. It's our responsibility to have that so that we can prove the will of God. We know the will of God is the word of God. Right? So we're proving the word of God works. We're proving so that other people will look at our life and say, what are they doing? Right? Remember, I want to do that. That's how we're proving the word. Transformed. The word transformed here in the Greek text means to go from meta to morpho. Wow. To go from meta to morpho. That's where we get the word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis, right? And what's interesting to me is that this is not a physical transition. This is a spiritual transition. To go from meta to morpho means, meta means the company that you've been with or what you used to be. To morpho. To morpho, which means taking on the proper form that embodies your inner man, your spirit. To go, to leave what you used to be and to go into what you should be. To go from meta to morpho, and what happens is when it happens on the inside, it begins to reflect on the outside. You begin to show fruit of it on the outside when it happens on the inside. Is this helping you today? Is this good? Thank you, Jesus. But how do we do that? By renewing our mind. The word renewing, I love this. It's interesting. It means the changing of your heart. Renewing. To renew means to change your heart. We're talking about hearts being ground today, so we can say ground. The changing of your ground. The changing of your ground. Are you here? Are you seeing how important ground is? The condition of the ground is the condition of your crop. The condition of your ground is the condition of your crop. When we change the ground, we're changing the crop. You're getting the same thing because we're sowing into the same ground. Amen. Change it. Change it. So changing the ground changes your heart. And then, where it says your mind means the way that you reason and make decisions. The way you reason and make decisions. So when you change your heart, when you change your ground, your thinking changes. When you change your heart, what that looks like is, and I know y'all don't have a problem with this, but this was just in my notes because this is what I was teaching at my church. When you change your heart, you change your way of thinking. So when you change your heart, instead of, oh, the church is just after my money, your reasoning changes to, thank you, Father, for an opportunity to sow into your kingdom. Instead of, I can't believe I have to love my neighbor. God wrote that before they knew my neighbor. It changes it to, Father, set me in a place where I can show them your love. Set me in a position, Father. Set me in a place so that when they come onto my land, I can say, I love you. That was hard, but I got it out. Set me in a place, God, to show them my love for you. What time am I supposed to be done? Right now?
You're pretty close.
Okay. I'm going to skip that. Real quick. How do we get to become good ground? I'm just going to give you two quick things. Two quick things. Say two. Just wanted you to say that to remind me. Okay. Verse 9. And he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The Greek word is akou. He who has ears to akou, let him akou. And it means to comprehend and understand. Comprehend and understand. Not just hear it, but to comprehend and understand. If we want to become good ground, we have to desire to comprehend and understand. There's lots of things in life that I have no desire to do. Changing the oil. I'd rather pay somebody. If I got under there, I have no clue what I'm doing because I don't have a desire. I don't want to get oil on these. These are nice pants. I don't want to get oil on these. If I get oil on these shoes, I'll have to throw them away. Just kidding. We have to desire it. We have to desire it. I don't have a desire for plumbing. I call Ted. Ted, I got a plumbing issue. Right? I don't desire it, so I don't do it. We can't create a relationship with the Word if we don't, just because Grandma's Bible is sitting on the coffee table. Right? Just because we're walking by it, we have to desire it. We have to desire, comprehend, and understand. So create a desire. We have to place a priority on what's important in our life and create a desire to understand and comprehend what's being sown, the Word. You hear something and you're like, well, I've heard that before. Don't let that hinder you. Don't let it hinder you. Listen, I've had steak more than once and I've ate it all every time. Every chef has a different flavor, yeah. Right? I can taste more of one flavoring on this guy's than I can the other one. Yeah. Amen. Then I drown it all in A1, so it doesn't matter anyway. But don't let that hinder you. You know, whenever my very first sermon, my nana is in ministry, and her and my grandfather started pastoring whenever they were 16. Yeah. Wow. And so I called her before I preached my first normal sermon, and I was crying. I was shaking. I was so scared. And I was like, Nana, they're all going to laugh at me. You know, I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm crying. And she said, Casey Stone, you open the Word of God and you speak the Word of God. And if they don't receive something, it's on them. She said, because every time the Word of God is opened, a blessing can be received. Something can be sown. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Every time the Word of God, there's something to accrue. There's something to comprehend and understand. Verse 11, he said to them, to you it has been given to or understand or comprehend the mystery of the kingdom of God. The word mystery here, I love this so much. It's a spiritual truth in the original text, a spiritual truth in which initiation is necessary. A spiritual truth in which initiation is necessary. Who's initiating? You. You're initiating. You're going after it. You're desiring to comprehend and understand. That's how you become good ground. It's possible for you to understand. Well, I just don't know. I don't get that part. Because you don't have a desire. You have to desire that. It's a mystery, but it's for you to initiate a relationship with. So seeing that, to you it was given to the mystery of the kingdom of God to those who are on the outside, right? All things are parable. So seeing that they may see and not perceive and hearing they might not understand. You're not on the outside, right? So you have the ability to accrue, to comprehend and understand. So you have the ability, but will you? All right. Let me go on to the next thing really quick because I'm real quick out. Verse 13, he says, do you not understand this parable? Let's skip that. Verse 14, we'll start there. The sower sows the word. What am I making contact with here? If the sower is sowing the word, what am I making contact with? The word. I'm making contact with the word. So it's not my relationship with the sower that's important. It's my relationship with the word. You know, I've literally had people not come to my church because of the way that I dress. Really? Can you imagine that? I can be even more undignified than this. I tamed it down for you. but there's people that don't understand this concept. Oh, I watch Joel Osteen, but I don't like him. He just smiles too much. Well, are you there for Joel Osteen or are you there for the Word? Right? Are you desiring Joel Osteen or are you desiring the Word? Amen. Are you desiring your pastor or are you desiring the Word? Amen. I mean, she's easy to want and be around, but you're desiring the Word. Your contact's with the Word. Amen. Things that I've watched on TV so spring up, increased, and produced in my life. Right? Didn't matter what I felt about them. It's the Word. Number two, making sure that you are being sown into. Okay. Yeah. Making sure that you're being sown into. You desire the Word, but you also have to be sown into. ground I have never seen it. Get up, go to the barn, put seed in itself, lay down to produce. Never seen it. It's not going to happen. You have to be sown into. Put yourself in places to be sown into. Listen to podcasts. Listen to the word on TV. Listen to your pastor. Listen, go back and listen to recordings on your Victory Facebook page of your live streams. Go back and submerge yourself under the word. Right? You need to have your own time in the word and your own prayer life, but that becomes stronger when you're sown into. Right? That becomes easier when you are sown into, when you make a purpose in your heart to be sown into. The word is being sown into you. Seed is being sown into you. But nothing can grow if nothing is planted. Amen. The word sower here, really quick, I'm almost done. Like, oh Jesus. Okay. The word sower here means the teacher that gives instruction. The teacher that gives instruction, what do they give an instruction with? The word. The word here means spoken emphatically or authoritatively. Authoritatively. The word of God should have complete authority in your ground, right? Doesn't matter what mama has to say about it. Doesn't matter what pappy said. Doesn't matter what your old pastor. That's the reason they're your old pastor. Amen. The word of God is authority in your life, and it has to be. So the word of God is sown authoritatively, not because we're yelling, but because it holds weight in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Good. You know, I'll end with this. I like to say, you know, I told our people that if the word of God needs to have authority in our life, but if we accept this part, but we don't accept this part, it's no longer the word of God. It's the word of your name, fill in the blank. Right? I want it to have authority, but this part I'm not real sure about. Well, then his word doesn't have authority. Your word has authority. Amen? When changes are made, when lifestyles are changed, when priorities are in the right place, we become good ground and we can experience all that God has for our life. Amen? Amen. Did that help you today? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that opportunity. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that the yielding took place. Lord, that the seed was able to be sown. Father, and because of that, harvest is not only coming, crops are not only coming, fruit is not only coming on this harvest day, but it's the crop, it's the fruit, it's the harvest that is springing up, that's increasing, taking them past what they thought they could be, and then increasing and producing 30, 60, and 100-fold in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.